I solemnly swear that I will faithfully, diligently, and impartially execute and perform the duties required of me as a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and will well and truly obey and perform all lawful orders and instructions which I shall receive as such.
The Queen's Men. For the first time, authentic stories of the world-famous Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Tales of men who for almost 100 years have helped to keep peace in Canada. The Queen's Men. The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
It may make fascinating reading, but I've sometimes wished the history of Jesse James had never been written with such enthusiasm.
How do you mean, sir?
Well, young fellas intent on crime often like to pattern themselves after that desperado. Makes them seem romantic and important.
Yes.
I can remember one in particular, a swaggering young fellow called Calvin Burke.
Oh?
Yeah, a few years back it was. And his exploits had become pretty famous when he was finally arrested by Chief of Police Barber of the Calgary City Police. Chief Barber had to go up north to take his prisoner, and he started back on the train with him.
Uh-huh.
Arriving in Calgary, the chief came straight to the RCMP detachment and headed for my office.
Chief of Police Barber, sir.
Oh, hello, Chief. Come in. It's good to see you.
Afternoon, sir.
Sit down. I heard about the prisoner you took. Good work.
I'm glad you think so, sir.
Why, what's the matter?
You see this?
The cap and jacket? Yes.
Well, this is what's left of my prisoner.
That's too bad, Barber. He's been giving everyone a lot of trouble with his thieving and phony checks.
Well, those were matters for the local police. But escape from custody is something else again. Now I'm asking the RCMP to step in, sir.
Glad to. Well, anything we can do. I'll put Constable Pearson on it right away. He's the best man I've got. And if anyone can track Burke down, he can. I'll call him in right away. Good man though he was, Pearson didn't get a lead during the following week, so I assigned more men to the search. They were spurred on by the fact that all Calgary was laughing. Sympathy, on the whole, was with Calvin Burke, the quick-witted youth who had made his getaway from a speeding train and from the chief of police. The feat was so daring that he began to take on glamour and an air of adventure, like his hero, Jesse James. Well, fall turned to winter. At the barracks, Mounties exchanged broad-brimmed Stetsons and high boots for fur caps, moccasins, and buffalo coats. Away they went on their endless search, and each night as they nursed their frostbites, they became more determined than ever to track them down. The first break came when Constable Pearson, still on his farm-to-farm check, pulled up at the homestead of one Samuel Cummings soon after a raging blizzard.
Oh, it's a Mountie. Come in, officer.
Ah, thank you.
Some wind.
Oh, it's fierce.
Don't know how you manage it up this road. Snow ain't been cleared.
Oh, my horse is used to drifts like this. I put him in your barn. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind a bit. Nice to have a horse in the barn again. Lonely place since a couple of weeks ago. Blast that fella anyway.
What fellow?
Some stranger, young fella. Gave his name as Stanford. Said he was a new neighbor. You get to trust neighbors, you know, whether you've ever seen them before or not.
Yeah.
You just kind of believe what they say.
Yeah. Go on with your story. What happened?
Plenty. He came pounding on my door in the middle of the night. Blizzard was on, you know, and even though he only lived a couple of miles up the way, he said, a fella could get lost in that kind of snow. I give him something to eat, lend him a coat, saddle, bridle, my bay horse, and I ain't seen him since.
What did he look like?
Oh, he's a young fella. Real young.
Early 20s?
Round in there, yeah. Kind of slim build, fair hair, thin little mouth.
That sounds like him exactly.
Who?
A young thief who escaped from custody a few months ago. That's why I'm here, checking everyone in the area. This is the first lead I've had. Do you know which way he traveled when he left here?
Heck no, you couldn't see 6 inches in front of you.
Why didn't you notify the police about the loss of your horse?
I did.
Ah. But doubtless they wouldn't think of connecting him with Burke or reporting it to us. Well, I'd better start hunting for him. But if I don't know where he is, at least I know where he's been.
You might think it a hopeless task to track down a man with as little to go on as Constable Pearson had. No tracks, no direction, nothing but a description of the man and the horse. But he plodded on, determined and persistent. Sure enough, within 2 weeks he had unearthed another clue, and a dandy.
Inspector, have we got a good detailed map of the Sunbury Swamp area up north of here?
Yes, you can probably get one from Corporal Tedman. What do you want to know about that area for, Pearson?
Well, I've just got a lead that might mean something. As you know, I've been searching for word of that bay horse of Cummings.
Yes?
Well, just this morning, I found a rancher with some information about it. He said a young fellow on a bay horse stopped at his place a couple of weeks ago, and he inquired the way to the home of Sandy Taggart. That's an emigrant from Kansas who's homesteading in a lonely spot near the swamp.
Very interesting. Tough place to find your way around in, Constable.
Yes, it is. And a likely place for a fugitive to hang out in, too.
Yes, yes, that's true. Well, you get yourself a map and go to it. But don't get lost.
All right.
Well, hello. Come on in.
Thanks. I'm glad somebody's home. I'd better get out of these boots.
Oh, never mind. We've been tracking in snow here for weeks. Come on in out of the cold.
Right. I'm Constable Pearson of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I'm afraid I'm lost.
Well, now you're found, officer. Have a cup of coffee, huh?
Oh, that'd be great. I've been looking for the home of Sandy Taggart.
Well, that's a coincidence.
Is this it?
No, but old Sandy's my uncle, and there's something funny been going on there.
Yeah? What do you mean?
Well, he lives a couple of miles away from here, and with all this snow, well, the place isn't easy to get to. He don't have any visitors in the wintertime, so I drop in on him now and then to keep him from getting too lonely.
Yeah?
Quite a little settlement around here, but Uncle Sandy's cabin, well, it's all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
A real lonely place.
Yes, go on.
Well, I went up there to see him last week. Friday it was. And he had a visitor with him. Young fellow, name of Stanford.
Stanford?
Yeah. You know him?
Well, not personally, no.
Well, he was a real young braggart type. Got him on nerve something terrible. Had a gun, too. A .44 revolver he was showing off with.
Yeah?
Twirling it about in his hand like they do in the movies, you know.
Thanks. Yes? What else?
Oh, not much that night. Uncle Sandy seemed to like him and got to talking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He gets so lonely, he'll talk the antlers off a deer when he gets half a chance. Even gabbed about how he's got his life savings hidden away in his cabin.
Yeah.
Well, this Sanford fella, he talked a whole lot about Jesse James, and I finally got bored with it all and came home. But I went up there again yesterday, and Uncle Sandy wasn't there. And it looked like he hadn't been there for a heck of a long time.
Yeah? What made you think that?
Well, the place was cold. Meal all frozen on the table. Fire couldn't have been gone for days, for everything was so cold.
Yes.
All upset he was, too.
How do you mean?
Well, everything was upside down. Tools lying around, some of the floorboards pried up. His horse and saddle were gone as well.
Yes.
You know, it's lucky you came along, officer, because I was going to try and get into town today and report this to the police.
Look, I want to see your uncle's cabin. Can you lead me there right away?
Sure thing.
All right, let's go.
Then you want to finish your coffee?
No, I can drink coffee anytime. This lad has eluded us too long. This time, I'm going to get him.
Pearson, this is getting more serious all the time. It appears we're not after a thief anymore. We're after a murderer.
Yes, sir. But at least we've got something to go on now.
Some clues, yes, and thank goodness. But we'll need evidence, Pearson. And if it is murder, we'll need a corpus delicti.
You doubt it's murder, sir?
Well, you can never be sure. Burke may have just taken the old man along as a guide. He may have held him up, yes, and ransacked the cabin without killing him.
Yes, that's so.
For all we know, he may have headed for the border. I presume you gave the cabin a thorough search?
Yes, sir. Nothing there.
Surrounding area?
Yeah, nothing there either.
Any chance of footprints?
No, I'm afraid not, sir. I gave it a good search, but there have been light snowfalls all week. Everything's covered up, you see.
Well, you've done your share of bushwork in this case, Pearson. I'll detail a patrol to the swamp area. And you start an investigation here in Calgary.
Okay.
There's always a good chance of a dash across the border, in which case the railroads may have some record.
That's a good idea, sir. I'll start there.
I've checked the results of the cabin search, Pearson. This may be a lead.
What, sir?
Well, among the articles belonging to Sandy Taggart, which are missing, is a light-colored corduroy suit. According to his nephew, the suit was too small for his uncle, but he had saved it because of its style. Does that suggest anything to you?
Corduroy suit. No, I can't say that it does, Inspector.
Well, this fellow Burke has firmly established that he fancies himself as another Jesse James.
I get it, sir. Now I remember. Jesse James used to wear a light-colored corduroy suit.
And it appeared for a while it was. Questioning railroad officials, Constable Pearson was soon able to establish that a young man with fair hair and a slight build and wearing a cream-colored corduroy suit had within the past week purchased a railroad ticket for Vancouver.
I said he was traveling alone, sir. If so, then he obviously disposed of Taggart along the way.
Yes, it would look that way. What else did you find out?
That he was traveling with a trunk, and I was lucky enough to secure the number of the baggage check.
Good.
Not only that, he's traveling under another alias, Charlie Welch. Have I got your permission to make a trip to Vancouver, sir?
Certainly, and the quicker the better. First, we'll wire a full description to Vancouver authorities. They may be able to track him down before you even get there.
I think we're on the right track this time, sir.
Whole RCMP barracks was in an uproar. Never had there been such excitement over the prospective capture of a prisoner. Burke was coming near to making a laughingstock of the entire force, and the newspapers were really making a big thing of it. Now that it had started rolling, things really seemed to be tumbling our way. Constable Pearson had no sooner left for Vancouver than I received a wire in answer to my own to the chief of police there. It said that the young man in question had been tracked down from its baggage check number and was right at that moment in the city jail awaiting Constable Pearson and identification.
I'm glad you got him, Constable Pearson. He's been giving us a lot of trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Well, he keeps denying the whole thing and insisting that his name really is Charlie Welch. You can tell by the scared way he acts, though, he's concealing plenty.
Yeah. Well, where's his cell?
Oh, the next one. It's right here. Ah, there he is. Want me to let you in?
No, I can talk to him from here. Well, Burke, you'll be helping yourself if you stop fighting and just come clean.
Is that on the level? That you'll have to prove it?
Absolutely on the level.
Well, nobody will ever prove I committed murder like they keep saying, because I didn't. And once my father gets here, he can prove I really am Charlie Welch.
Your father?
Sure.
He is Calvin Burke, isn't he, Constable?
Well, he looks like the description, but, I've never seen Burke. Look, what's this about your father?
Well, I didn't mean to rob him, officer. Honest, I didn't.
What are you talking about?
Well, about how I took $50 from my father and ran away. I never thought I'd get arrested for it.
Where did you get that corduroy suit?
This? Well, gee whiz. I've had this since my 16th birthday. Well, nobody at home ever thought I was grown up. They just treated me like a kid. Wouldn't even let me get a job. Well, so I ran away, that's all.
Now, Warden, I've got some bad news. I don't know how I'll break it to the inspector, but I think we've been trailing the wrong man.
This man is not Calvin Burke.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to the Queen's Men.
It was a terrible blow to all of us, and especially Constable Pearson, who had worked so hard on the case and thought he had success within his grasp. The boy he had arrested in Vancouver was soon able to establish his true identity, and as far as Calvin Burke was concerned, we were as badly off as we were before. In fact, worse, because we'd wasted several days on this venture and allowed the real trail to cool somewhat. Again, the newspapers and the public gave us the horse laugh. And the next day, a terse communication from headquarters arrived. The delay in apprehending Petty Larceny Burke is nothing short of preposterous. The whole division, stumped and disorganized by a mere youth, is humiliating to the force and a reflection on all concerned. Detective Constable Penoyer is being sent to assist. Please have him work with officers familiar with the case.
Constable Penoyer, I'm delighted you've been assigned to us. I'm told you're considered to be one of the ace detectives of the force. Oh,
thank you, sir. I'll certainly do my best. Is there anything in this murder story?
Well, we haven't much to go on. We've checked with Taggart's family in Kansas, and they claim they haven't heard from him in months. My own opinion is that it's murder.
Well, then, let's find out, sir. Who do I work with?
Constable Pearson. While he did follow down one false lead, the one in Vancouver, he's brought to light more real clues than anyone else. We put more and more men onto the case and followed up every lead, no matter how insignificant it seemed. Finally, the trail led to the farmhouse of a settler who had a story to tell that sounded familiar to Constable Pearson.
Yeah, he robbed me of my horse. Came banging on the door in the middle of the night, and I guess I was half asleep when he told his story, so said he was a new neighbor and his horse had thrown him and run off. Mm-hmm. I lent him my horse. That was a week ago, and I ain't seen hide nor hair of him since.
Constable Penoyer, have you noticed this man's story is identical with that of Cummings?
Yes. Did the man give you his name?
Yeah. Said it was Ernie Nichols.
Another alias.
Well, let's make sure it's our man before we arrest him this time. Come on, Pearson, let's get to work on it.
Near the area was an Indian reservation. And as the rest of the search proved fruitless, Penoyer decided to concentrate on the reservation for a while. Indians are notorious for their hospitality in that part of the country, and many fugitives from justice have taken advantage of this trait. He began a thorough search of the reservation and finally found an old squaw who understood what they were looking for and seemed willing to talk.
Yes, there has been white man staying here.
There has?
Very nice young white man.
Why wouldn't any of the other Indians tell me about him?
He good friend to Indians. Indians all like Mr. Nichols.
Nichols? Tell me more about the Nichols.
He say he is bad man and Jesse James. He's very funny. And he has a good heart.
You don't say so.
Very good big heart. Many times he go to Calgary and buy us tea and sugar and nice fish hooks.
Into Calgary?
How long has he been around here?
Until last Thursday.
Yes, well, what about last Thursday?
That is the day the chief's horse ran away, I think, maybe. And nice young Mr. Nichols, he go away that day, too.
Can you imagine? coming right in here into Calgary to do the Indian shopping.
Now, he's got a nerve, all right. While the whole force has been combing the prairie, here Burke's been within a few miles of the barracks, in close touch with everything that's taking place.
Oh, well, here's the inspector's office.
Come in.
We've just got some more information, sir.
Wait until you hear this, sir.
Yes, and you wait until you see this.
Oh. Another letter from the commissioner, sir.
More interesting even than that. Here, read it, Pennier.
Good heavens, it's from Burke.
Burke, let's see.
How are you making it, Mounties? I am in good health and spirits for the future life which I am undoubtedly going to have in spite of the hard work of the mounted police. If you get me, it won't be alive. I'm going to be in Calgary for some time yet. Signed, Jesse James.
Did you ever see such cool-headed nerve?
The boy may be slippery, but he's a fool. He just can't keep from bragging. And it'll be his downfall eventually.
I hope you're right, sir.
Well, at least now we have a sample of his writing. It may turn out to be useful.
He's fool enough to mean it. I mean that he's going to stay around Calgary.
Or else he's smart enough. He might figure we wouldn't believe him and continue to concentrate our search on the prairie. If I may suggest, sir, I'd be inclined to take him precisely at his word and really scour every inch of this city.
Yes, you may be right, Pennier. Yes, it's worth a good gamble. Just a minute. Yes? Inspector Tracy speaking. Oh, yes, Constable. What's that? When? Well, exactly where did you find it? Good work. Yes, have it taken to the morgue immediately. All right. Goodbye. Well, that was Constable Bailey. He's been on the search party around the area where Sandy Taggart's home was. They just found a body under the ice in a nearby pond.
Is it Taggart?
That's going to be a problem, Constable. It's decomposed beyond recognition. But we'll have to try and find some means of identification.
What about the clothes?
They've all come off in the water, evidently. You can't tell anything from the face, Bailey says. Pearson, call in that nephew of Taggart's.
Yes, sir.
Meantime, I want to follow up this little love letter here. Pennier, start investigating brands of paper.
Yes, sir.
Take this along with you. It's an unusual kind of paper. You may be able to learn something from it.
I'm sorry I've had to expose you to that, Pete. I know you were fond of your uncle.
Yeah, I was. No, I don't mind this business of trying to identify him, officer. I'd like to see the killer caught.
Yeah, so would we.
But you can't tell. I just can't tell if that was my uncle at all.
It's very important, Pete, because this is our only evidence. And we're going to pick Burke up eventually, maybe quite soon. We have reason to be sure he's right here in Calgary.
And you'll need the evidence to convict him.
That's right.
If only I could identify him by something.
Any sort of disfiguration that you can remember? Something distinctive?
What? Sure, I just remembered.
Yeah?
He has two toes all kind of bent backwards on his right foot from an accident he had when he was a kid. Could we go back into that room? I don't remember noticing his feet.
Well, his boots were still on. It may just be that those boots protected him from the damaging effects of the water. We may be able to tell. Come on, let's go in.
Yeah.
Yes, Sergeant, it looks as though we've got another good lead. Pennier discovered that the paper that Burke used for his note is sold at just one store in Calgary. He's on his way there now to question the shopkeeper. Excuse me a minute. Yes?
Hello, sir. Pearson speaking.
Yes, Pearson?
It is, or was, Sandy Taggart, all right.
Is that right? His nephew was able to identify him.
Well, not at first. But just now he discovered that this body bears a distinctive formation of the toes that his uncle had. Also, he knows these are Taggart's boots.
Good. Be sure you make a note of all that, and that you can locate that fellow when we need him for the trial.
Trial? You're sounding a little more hopeful of a capture, sir.
We have to stay hopeful, Pearson. Get back here as soon as you can. I may have an assignment for you. I just had a hunch that we were nearing the end of the line, and I was right. Calvin Burke signed his own death warrant when he signed that note to the RCMP.
The shopkeeper who sold him the paper remembered him, remembered because of the exorbitant amount of bragging the young fellow did. He examined all the papers in the place, said he was a writer and wanted the best. We found out later he had started to write his memoirs, thought he'd preserve his daring exploits for posterity. We found that he was living in an attic room not three blocks from the center of town, and a group led by Pearson finally closed in on him late at night, after they'd made sure he was at home. You ready, men? Open up, Burke.
You've got the wrong address.
This is the RCMP, Burke. The time has come to stop fooling around. Open the door and come out with your hands up.
What? Hey.
Oh. Did he get you?
No, just skimmed by me. Shot right through the door. Stand back, men. Now, listen, Burke. If you come out now, you've got a chance. A fair trial and a fair chance. If you don't come out, we'll smoke you out. And if you resist, I've got my orders to shoot. There are six of us out here, Burke, and you may be smart, but even Jesse James would know when he was licked.
Okay, Mountie, you win. For now. But you'll never keep me.
That's fair enough. We'll keep you for tonight, anyway. Let's go.
And what did happen, sir? Did you keep him?
Oh, he made a few attempts at escape, but we kept him, all right. He was found guilty of murder, and another Jesse James paid his debt to society.
Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.